Welcome to the Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative, and I'm Aviva Feiner, and we are continuing in Perek Dalid today of the Book of Echa, the fourth Perek. We concluded the last Perek, Perek Gimel, third Perek, with Yirmiyahu's lust and desire to see Hashem avenge all the suffering of Klal Yisrael. In this Perek, we're going to further see the personal pain that Yirmiyahu felt in the fall of Yerushalayim, specifically as we're going to discuss, and just to do a little review of history here, in the fall of the greatness of the house of Yehuda and the kings of Yehuda. In fact, if you recall from our very first lesson, we discussed how Yirmiyahu lives through the lifetime of the king Yoshiyahu, and then his sons and grandsons, Yehoahaz, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu being the king who saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the three in between, Yehoahaz, Yehoyakim, and Yehoyachin, are kings that served Avodah Zarah, Yehoyakim being the king who actually stabbed and burned the first three prakim of Echa, and that third parak was actually the fourth parak as we know it today, which is what we're going to be learning today, and that parak had been written about the fall. And it was really a eulogy for the king Yoshiyahu, according to many, many of the Mefarshim. Just to understand, Yoshiyahu HaMelech was the grandson of Menashe, who was famous for having established places and services of Avodah Zarah throughout the land of Israel, including in the Beis HaMikdash. And that Yoshiyahu, in Sefer Melachim, Perek Beis, in the second Perek, we find the Navi describing Yoshiyahu's efforts to rid the land of idol worship and remove specifically Baal and Asherah from the Beis HaMikdash. And his tshuva movement spreads throughout the Jewish people. And what actually happens to Yoshiyahu at the end of his life is that he's killed by Paro Necho's army, by Paro, who was one of the Egyptian rulers, in a battle that Yirmiyahu had advised him not to enter. And ultimately, from that progression of events, the control of the land of Israel falls to the Egyptians and then the Babylonians. In fact, our 11th kina is considered our most original kina on Tisha B'Av, our lamentation, and it is Vikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. We're going to be looking at the Pesukim inside in a minute, as we find that it is brought down in Divrei Hayamim, that in chapter 35, Vayoru Hayorim Lamelech Yoshiyahu, they killed the king, the shooters killed the king Yoshiyahu. Vayomer Hamelech la'avadav haviruni ki hechilosi ma'od. He says to his servants, I'm getting very weak. And they pass him through, it begins to tell us. And the Pasuk says 25 in chapter 35. Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. And Yirmiyahu cries for Yoshiyahu. Vasharos bikinosem al Yoshiyahu ad hayom. And it's until this very day that we cry for Yoshiyahu, and it becomes Chok al Yisrael, v'hinam k'suvim al hakinos, and it is written in the kinos. So that Yoshiyahu was that king who there had been hope he really would bring Klal Yisrael back to good, and maybe we would have prevented the fall of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, we find that we learn that Yoshiyahu had detectives checking what people did. But the stubborn minority persisted in Avodah Zarah. And in fact, if we want to understand why Yoshiyahu entered a war that Yirmiyahu told him not to or advised him not to, he really thought everybody was the Amech Tulam Tzadikim, but really they were hiding things. And perhaps we recall how they used to put two different halves of the faces of the Avodah Zarah on the doors. And when the doors were open, you couldn't see that Avodah Zarah was there. And then they closed and the Avodah Zarah was still there. And thus, Yirmiyahu advises him, don't enter this war with Paro because you will not be successful. And he enters it anyway, and he dies. Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. And these are the words of Echa, of this cry for Yoshiyahu, which we'll begin right now, looking inside at the first pasuk. Echa yu'am hazav. How has the gold become dimmed? Something that was shiny, it was beautiful, it is now dim. Yishne hakesem hatov. The finest gold has now changed Tishapechna avnei kodesh baruch chutzos. And all of the holy stones have fallen, and they're falling all over the place. Okay, this is horrible. There had been something beautiful, and they are falling everywhere. And again, Rashi tells us that this is originally talking about the fall of Yoshiyahu. However, there were a number of opinions, and we're just going to quote a few of them, that Avnei Kodesh, Rashi also tells us, is talking about how there were children who were shining and beautiful in Klal Yisrael, and they are falling, and all over, they are just being disgraced. And the Al-Shulch says, we're talking about the gold and the stones of the Beis HaMikdash that was so beautiful, that is now totally just rolling through the streets, the shame. Pasuk Beis, the second pasuk. B'nei Tzion hayakarim hamuslaim bapaz, the precious children of Tzion who are also comparable to fine gold, echa nechshavu l'nivlei cheresh. How could they be like earthenware jugs? Rashi tells us that these are the jugs that held wine that were made of very strong earthenware, maaseh yedei chotzer, that are made by a potter. They're made by people. And what we're describing here is that the Maharikra tells us that the Jewish children were beautiful and they had golden faces at the time when Yoshvu Labetach Lasova, when the Jewish people lived securely and were satisfied in the land of Israel. And now they look like earthenware. They're starving, brittle. And in fact, to my own pain, I was preparing this Maharikra and reading this Pasuk on Wednesday, August 6th. And on that day, I had woken up the previous day to having seen the picture of Eviatar David starving and being posted in Times Square. Eviatar ben Galia, I hope by now he's home when you're hearing this. He needs tremendous rachamei shemayim, and how he looked also like nivlei cheres, just so starving. Hashem should have rachmanis because this is going on. Ne'erochim bapaz, they are, the Mitzvah Tzion explains us, they are valued like gold. They were gold. And the Al-Shulch tells us that normally, if you boil, bend, or even break gold, it's still gold. Not the children of Tzion. The children of Tzion, they changed. You can't recognize them. We don't even realize that they are the children of Tzion anymore. The Psukim Gimel through Hay 3 through 5 really talk about how much they're starving, and we're going to be moving to Pasuk Vav 6. Vayigdal avon basami michas chatas Sodom, and the suffering of my people is worse than the sin of Sodom. Ha'afucha, that was turned up over kimoraga in a second, v'lo chalu b'yadayim, and no hands even touched it. Rashi tells us their suffering is worse than Sodom. Sodom was turned over in 1 second, and the pain of Tzion, it just continues. Lo chalu b'yadayim, no person touched Sodom. It was destroyed by angels, if we recall the story in Bereshis. Maharikra says there was no enemy glorifying on the downfall of Sodom. Look at us. Look at us. They continue to joke and mock and make fun of us, and it hasn't stopped until this very day. Let's continue on. Zion, in the seventh pasuk, again talks about how the color has changed, how everything is so different, how dirty, how filthy they are. And we're moving on to 9 to Tess. Tovim hayu chale chere michale rav. Better are those who were stabbed by sword than to those who are falling in starvation. Shehem yazuvu mutkarim umetnuvos sadai. Because if we could just imagine that those who were stabbed just fell, and that those who are starving just don't have the fruits in the field and they are withering away. How extraordinarily painful, and even more painful, is the next pasuk yud. Yidei nashim rachmanios bishlu yaldehem. The hands of merciful women cook their children. We quoted earlier in Perek Beis, how it can't be, how could it be that Jewish women ate their children, and that Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal told us it had to be that they went crazy. And that I found a medrash at the time I mentioned that says that no, it wasn't that they literally ate their children, but rather that they gave the food for their children to other families that needed it because they were in suffering and in sorrow, and it was like they ate their children. However, I found on this pasuk a shla that Arts World quotes that even made me feel a little bit better. I hope that it will make you feel better, because it really disturbs me to think that Jewish women ever ate their children. But it's something that we can learn from. And that the shla says that the Jewish mothers coddled their children. They did not encourage them to learn Torah or to get up and to daven. And they let them play and sleep late. And they didn't allow their children to become as great as they could be. And that women like that are actually killing their children. As the pasuk says in Koheles, Chachmas nashim bansa beisa ve'iveles bi'adeha tersena, that the wisdom of women builds house and the evil one will destroy it with her own hands. Halavai, this is true, and that no Jewish woman ever ate her own child. And if she did, we have to understand the absolute craze that was going on at the time of the destruction of our first Beis HaMikdash. We are now moving to the 11th Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and we are reading inside. Ki la Hashem es chamaso. Hashem finished his anger. Shafach haron apo. He threw down his raging fury. Vayotzes eish v'tzion v'tochal yisodoseha. And there was a fire lit in Tzion, which destroyed, it ate the foundations of Yerushalayim. And Rashi tells us that the fire in Yerushalayim burnt for years and years until everything burnt down. Kol Charon Apo, all of Hashem's anger. The Alshuk tells us that because of the holiness of Tzion, no fires ever burnt before. Nothing ever caught fire. Only the fires that were on the Karbanos. Ay, if we could see that again. But no houses caught fire, no ovens or dryers made fires burn until Hashem burnt the fire on Zion. And we see here everything that was foretold by the Nevi'im actually came true. And just to remember how Yirmiyahu began the previous perek, Ani HaGever, I'm the one who saw it, the pain of Yirmiyahu. In fact, we're going to look at what the nations of the world said in the 12th Pasuk Yud Beis, Lo Haminim Alcha Eretz Kol Yoshvei Teva Ki Yavot Tzar V'Oyev B'Shar Yerushalayim. No one in the world could believe that such a thing would happen to the Jewish people, the kings of the nations of the world. How could the enemy come into Yerushalayim? Rashi tells us that the miraculous defeat of Sancheiriv Melech Ashur made Yerushalayim look impenetrable. And in fact, this is during the time of the Melech Hizkiyahu, and Yeshayahu HaNavi was the Navi at the time. It's brought down in the book of Melachim, in the second perek, where we find that very miraculously, Sancheiriv's camps all just, who was the king of Assyria, of Ashur, he had 180, Me'ah Shmonim V'chamisha Elef, and they went to sleep at night and they woke up dead. So after that incident happened, the nations of the world are terrified of the Jewish people. And now they can't believe this happened. How could it be? And we know that it had to come from Hashem. Okay. We're going to go on now to the 17th pasuk. We're just moving along. And we're looking at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Odenu tichlena einenu al ezrosenu hevel. This is something that we can understand in our politics today. Our eyes are consumed because we looked for help in nothing. B'tziyah pasenu tzipinu el goy lo yoshia. We hoped and we had entreated into a nation that would, a guide that would never help us. Here we're talking about how Klal Yisrael, and Rashi tells us that when sorrows come and when suffering comes to Klal Yisrael, we look for help in the wrong places. And this is an old story. Rabbi Wein Zatzal, we just recently lost him, used to say that we are the only nation that looks back to move forward. In fact, Yemei Kedem are the days of old, and Kadima is move forward. What happened then? Mitzrayim, Egypt actually said they would help them. If you recall, we said that Tzidkiyahu HaMelech fell in a war with Mitzrayim. And in the end, Hashem made it that they couldn't help them. And the Medrash Eicha says that when the Egyptians were going to help the Jewish people, Hashem actually showed them the images of the drowning Egyptians from the time of the splitting of the sea. And the Egyptians then said that Jews killed our ancestors and we will not help them. I quote to you just the pasuk that came to mind to me now. Tehillim Lamed Gimel, Beis Nafshenu Chiksa LaHashem Ezreinu U'Magineinu Hu. Our souls wait for Hashem. He is the only one who can help us. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Ruach HaPinu Mashiach Hashem Nilkad. The spirit of our souls, the Mashiach, the one who we thought would save us, and the Mefarshim tell us that this could be talking about Yoshiho, this could be talking about Gedaliah ben Achikam, this could be talking about Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, all the leaders that had given us hope at the end when we thought there would still be a salvation, they still fell and are captured. Asher amanu b'tzila nechya v'agayim. And then he concludes, and we understand from here that in his prophecy, Yeshayahu also saw the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Sisi v'simchi, 21. Sisi v'simchi, Bas Edom. Be so happy, Rome. Bas Edom. Yosheves be'eretz otz. Gamalayach tavar kost tishkari v'sa'ari. Because it will come to you. You will be punished. You will drink and get drunk from the cup of pain. Tam avonech, Bas Zion, 22. Your sin is over. Lo yosif lahaglosech. They will no longer keep you in exile. Pakad avonech bas adam gila achatosayach. Because you have finished. You have suffered enough. The scales will rise and fall. And we will return home b'mheira v'yameinu. Thank you for listening. We should see it soon and speedily in our day.